Welcome today to an interview series with outstanding professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Peter Botman, leading international consultant and authority in software engineering, systems integration, and quality assurance. Peter, you have a lifetime of notable contributions in a number of fields, just really outstanding work. Thank you for sharing your considerable expertise, deep accumulated insights, and wisdom with our audience.
Thank you very much, Stephen. I'm flattered to be considered for your interview.
Peter, it's one of the questions I always lead off with, and you know, and my audience will find it interesting as well, is what sparked your initial interest in computers?
Well, I was exposed to computers during my Cégep years in Montreal. I took a course in Fortran programming, but I wasn't terribly excited. It wasn't really until I reached university taking electrical engineering that I was able to discover mini computers and microcomputers and see firsthand all the detailed control interactions, seeing them control diodes and LCD displays and graphic monitors, sound synthesizers. And that's what really got me excited, seeing how they control things at a very detailed level.
Well, you attended the University of Toronto, and I know they have a very fine electrical engineering program. You got your degree there. What was that experience like?
Well, I'd have to say it's broad and challenging. Electrical engineering is such a broad discipline involving things like power and networking and systems theory. So it was challenging, and I soon found out that I was fascinated by computers and software. So I did my best to try to take as many courses as I could in on the computer side, but they still demanded a lot out of me.
Well, you know, the University of Toronto is ranked as one of the top universities in the world, so it's a remarkable achievement in itself, being a member of one of their programs.
Well, I benefited a lot from that rigorous background.
Well, tell us more about your vision and objectives behind your current roles. Like, what do you hope to accomplish and how you will bring this about?
Well, from an individual personal perspective, I see myself as a software engineer. And what I'm hoping to do in my volunteer involvement in various professional and technical societies is to help develop the profession of software engineering. And I don't, I hope I don't sound too grandiose, but that's really my attempt at giving back to the profession. And I'm involved in several ways. We can get into that, I suppose. But that's my vision at the moment.
Well, you also have your own consulting business. Can you talk about that?
Over the years, I've gone from being a software engineering and a developer to a more of a project management, process management, and process improvement role. So right now in my consulting practices, I try to help companies improve their processes, their software engineering tools and practices, all to improve their capabilities and their effectiveness.
You know, you've developed and delivered complex systems and solutions for aviation, banking, and companies like Bell Canada, Digital Equipment, AT&T, and so on. Do you have any key lesson or one life sort of lesson that you can sort of share with the audience from that experience?
Well, from an individual practitioner point of view, I think professionalism is a good guide. It's a good direction for people to try to follow, for people to strive for. Being a professional means maintaining competence, talking to your peers, finding out what's going on, and maintaining that dialogue so that you are in the flow of the profession and not isolated. So I think there are many aspects to professionalism, and different people are heavily involved in different portions of professional life. Some people are extremely focused on technical production and technical activities. Others are management-oriented. Others are process-oriented. So there are various areas within that profession, but the general guidepost for an individual would be to try to strive for that level of professionalism.
You know, you have this really broad background. You've done almost everything. Do you have some technical tips that you wish to share?
Well, software engineering is such a big field. I wouldn't claim to provide technical advice for everyone listening today. I can say that there are lots of exciting developments on the hardware and software side. A really good example of that is the advent of multi-core processors, such as the Cell Broadband Engine. This will represent a major shift in terms of parallel and concurrent programming. So from the point of view of the software engineer, I would recommend be ready for it, be aware of it if you're not already, and be ready to express it in terms of a model rather than simply at the programming language level or the assembly language level. Be ready to model that, and be able to carry forward your knowledge in at the design level.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Now, what are your best resources for IT professionals?
I think there's a couple of levels of resources. One critical level is the team you're working with right now. They represent the people that you're working with and that you have to get the job done with. Another sort of level would be your immediate network of professionals that you're in touch with on a regular basis. And then at a broader level, a professional and technical society. That's the ultimate backstop, the ultimate place where you can retrieve technical information and knowledge, find out what's going on. And that really comes through if you're subscribing to magazines and journals and going to conferences.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I know that you're involved with the IEEE Computer Society. What are some of the benefits of being with that group?
Well, let me first of all say that I'm not speaking for the Computer Society or any of the other organizations that I might mention here today, because I'm going to sound a little bit like a salesman here. The Computer Society has around 85,000 members around the world, and they are, at its core, a learned society. They're developing the theory and practice of software engineering. They're the leading publisher in that field. They're also involved, aside from the theory, they're also involved at the professional level. They've developed the Guide to the Software Engineering Body of Knowledge, which represents the corpus or the set of knowledge that a working software engineering professional should know. They're, of course, involved in conferences and educational materials, publishing books, tutorials, that sort of thing. And also at a software engineering perspective, they offer a certification in software engineering called the Certified Software Development Professional, the CSDP.
Are there other professional groups that you're associated with, and can you describe some of the value they bring?
Well, along the software engineering side, I'm involved with the Association of Professional Engineers and Geoscientists of BC, APEG BC, and they are part of Engineers Canada. I am a registered professional engineer in the province of British Columbia, and my involvement with them and their value is basically moving the software engineering profession forward as a licensed profession. They are a licensed and regulatory body. I'm also involved with the ASQ, the American Society for Quality. I view quality as a very important discipline, and that's a great place to learn about quality assurance, auditing, quality management, all those sorts of things. And I'm also a member of the Project Management Institute, PMI, which is also a valuable discipline for software engineering professionals.
Well, it's interesting, you belong to these various groups, but obviously they also help in your professional work on a day-to-day basis.
Yes, that's true. I think project management speaks for itself. Every working engineer at some point will be managing projects of some size or scope. So even when you're training in a university, you have to learn the fundamentals of project management. Project management is an extremely important discipline for working engineers. And quality, I would say the same thing. They're teaching this as part of the basic training of software engineers in university. But there are so many aspects to quality assurance, quality management, that it's good to get into that discipline and learn about it in some depth.
How does your professional status as an engineer support your work in software?
Well, I am a registered professional engineer in the province of British Columbia, but it hasn't resulted directly in employment or contract opportunities at this point. I would say that it's a professional designation that has helped to get across to prospective employers my level of capability and competence, but it hasn't been a requirement from a legal point of view to this point in my career, so it hasn't been a mandatory thing. But another thing that I would say is, aside from the confidence and the level of assurance, it has permitted me to be at the table and to help develop the profession, talking to the authorities who regulate the profession here in British Columbia, and also within the Computer Society. It helps me have a seat at the table, and people will take an interest in what I say from the point of view of where is the profession going and what are the sorts of things we can do to help establish this new profession.
I guess that I get the sense also that with all the affiliations you have, it also helps to build these professional relationships, and relationships are a key part of just working today.
I think that's true. Any working professional has to view the professional relationships as fundamental. We talked about resources for IT professionals before, but really a lot of them come down to individual professional relationships, and one never knows what individual relationships will lead to. Through the IEEE, I've been fortunate enough to meet many leaders in the software engineering field. I wouldn't say I've been able to develop close relationships with some of the luminaries in the field, but I would say it's important to me to be able to say that I've met these people and that I understand who the leaders are and understand their work. So personal networking and connections lead to good things.
What are your views on software engineering certification and licensing, and where is this heading?
I think the most important aspect to software engineering practice is assurance of competence. And software engineering certification is moving ahead. The Computer Society already offers one certification. The ISO standard, there is an ISO standard now for the certification of software engineering professionals. It's ISO standard 24773. So we will see a movement towards more commonality in how we certify software engineering professionals, what they should know, what they should be capable of doing, and that's really the heart of the problem. Licensing is important in the sense that there has to be some stricter guarantee of it and of quality, stricter guarantee of competence in some situations where the public safety, environmental safety is at risk. There may be situations where we still need a licensing regime. But I think we're making progress on both of those fronts.
How would you describe your top innovative achievements in terms of the problems you're trying to solve, your solutions, and then the impact it has today and into the future?
Well, I don't want to claim large-scale personal accomplishments or achievements in my own right. I've been a member of teams that have developed useful systems within the context of the situation at the time, using the technology at the time, and I think that these systems were well engineered based on those criteria. They have served a useful purpose. They were able to evolve and be extended if that was the case. But my personal achievement was part of a team. I can't take responsibility or credit for the complete design of these systems. I also think that one of my achievements has been contribution towards the profession in terms of standards and professional work and that sort of thing. So I've made incremental contributions
There's a lot of flux occurring in the marketplace today, economic challenges and so forth. So how do you personally manage change?
Well, from a professional point of view, I think managing change flows from managing information, first of all, being aware of what's coming up, what's coming down the road, and then being able to sift through that mountain of information, judging what's important and judging what the credible authorities are, who is telling you this, and are they credible, and being able to know where to go for reliable information. It's important for a professional to understand that because there's too much information otherwise. And once something arrives on the horizon, and I used the example before of multi-core processors, I think it's important to incorporate that into my personal knowledge base, be aware of how I should go and take a course or go and read an authoritative textbook to become ready to go to apply that knowledge. Then I go to a conference and test my knowledge, discuss it with my colleagues who are also trying to keep up, and always compare myself to where I think the profession is going.
That's interesting, and sort of the processes that you go through. Do you have sort of a challenge sometimes of work-life balance?
Yes, I think that's always a problem or potential problem for engineers. I think part of the maturity as a professional means being able to manage situations both from a technical side and from a professional side. One can't continue to do everything sort of in isolation. One needs to set up a team, manage a team, manage a task.
If you could sum up your life experiences with career tips for the ICT professional, what would be your tips and the reasons behind them?
I think from a very high-level perspective, aim for a professional approach and then become involved. Don't work in isolation. Become part of the profession. Become part of a professional network. Keep your skills and tools sharp.
I guess, again, tying in with professional societies and some of the groups that are out there helps in that endeavor.
Yes, I can't stress that enough. There's so much happening today. There are experts everywhere, but it's difficult for one person to track all those experts to funnel down that knowledge to what is important at the time for you and your job. So participating in a technical and professional society helps structure that knowledge, helps sift it out to what is really important for your professional practice.
You've given us some clues already in terms of what you see as things that are coming into the future. Can you make some additional predictions about the future, their implications, and how executives and IT professionals can best prepare?
Well, I think there's no magic bullet for a software engineering professional, an IT professional, because the technology will always be changing. I think the from a technical perspective, software engineering and software development are going to mutate. They're going to keep rising in the level of abstraction. So software professionals are going to have to be able to move from one technology to another very quickly, and what they will keep are the abstractions, the frameworks that they work with, the general knowledge of the life cycle, the general knowledge of testing and requirements and that sort of thing. So it's not critical to be an expert in all of the low-level details of each technology that comes along, but it's important to be able to keep the abstractions, keep the models, and keep the focus on how to accomplish the software project as a whole.
Again, because of the economic challenges that are occurring and all the churn that's occurring worldwide and globalization and so on, what do you see as the three top challenges facing us today and how do you propose they be solved?
From speaking from a broader perspective, not the individual perspective, I think the major challenge is coming together around the world in a profession using common standards, common language. Once we do that, we'll be able to move forward and proceed to work together more quickly and more effectively. I think there are too many people working away in isolation around the world, and every time we collect a team to accomplish something in one particular project, to a certain extent, we have to slow down, discover our common ground, discuss our standards, and move forward once we do that. So from a profession point of view, from a large-scale point of view, we're still a young profession. Software is still a young profession, and I think around the world, it will benefit everyone to come together with a more common set of standards and terminology.
You know, I'm going to sort of deviate a little bit here in terms of my questions. And, you know, one of the things that I do in my travels is I talk about people and how they're doing in terms of their consulting work or on their jobs and so on. And are you finding that people are finding difficulty in getting jobs right now, or are finding challenges in maintaining their jobs in their work environment? Do you have a sense of what's happening with regards to IT jobs out there?
Well, I think my sense is there are specialists and there are generalists. Specialists, I think, have not as large a challenge. There are certainly jobs now for specialists in ERP systems, specialists in embedded processors and real-time systems, mobile software. So there are always positions at the leading edge of technology for specialists. Generalists, it's quite a different story, and I think they're going to have to decide how they're going to tackle the situation. It's always worthwhile reinvesting and acquiring specialist knowledge, but it may not pay off in the long run if you go into a technology, spend 2 or 3 years learning and working in one area, and then that technology moves on. So I would say that the generalists are having problems right now. Software engineering is always moving at the best of times, so it's hard for a generalist to sit still.
Now I'm going to turn the tables on you, Peter, so this is where I have the most fun. If you were conducting this interview, what additional questions would you ask? And then what would be your answers?
I think one of the questions that I would ask is the industry going to really remain strong in countries where they don't have strong R&D investment? And this may not be a particular concern in the United States, but I know it's a concern in many other countries around the world. I think, speaking from a non-economic professional point of view, investment in R&D is important. There will always be investment in infrastructure and information technology by companies, but it's investment in R&D that generates entire new segments, video games, mobile applications, all these sorts of things come from investment in R&D. So I would like to encourage the growth of the industry by consideration of investment in research and development generally.
And I guess perhaps additional sort of stimulus and R&D support from the government would be useful as well.
It is useful, but I know that industry may not see it that way, especially industry that's well established.
Now, one of the questions that comes up when I'm talking with industry leaders is this whole concept of the declining enrollments in the schools, underrepresented groups, and like, for example, women in technology. Do you have any views on that?
I think the question of representation of women in engineering and technology is a serious one. There have been many efforts over the years to try to help remedy that. I think we still have a long way to go, but I'm encouraged by the fact that we readily accept specific study groups. The IEEE has a study group on women in engineering, and within APEG BC, the Professional Engineering Association, they also have a special group studying that question. So at least we're drawing attention to that problem, and I do wish to see it addressed.
Peter, do you have any additional comments you wish to make?
I wish all my colleagues the greatest success, but more than that individual success, I wish for the establishment and continued development of the profession itself.
Well, Peter, you know, I know you have a very demanding schedule, so we thank you for coming in today to do this interview, and we are deep fortunate that you were able to share your substantial wisdom with our audience.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen. I enjoyed it, and as I said, I'm flattered to be interviewed.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Peter Bachman, leading international consultant authority in software engineering, systems integration, and quality assurance.